Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mafia is very angry tonight. We're in the Quicken Loans studios in New York. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. The Steelers head south to take on the Jaguars and Jacks. And later, the Chargers host the Broncos at StubHub in a classic AFC West showdown. Check your local listings for the game in your area and kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4, CBS, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? They even have boat insurance. Get it all at geico.com. Jamie Eisenberg is a leader of men, very popular on the national level, on the radio, on CBS Sports Radio Sunday. He does a show at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, late night. He does a show on CBS Sports Radio, Ion Fantasy. Very, very esteemed. Fans everywhere clamor for him. Trey in New York finally met Jamie Eisenberg. I saw the photos, staggering developments. And Trey's always first on the show. But I want to ask Jamie, first of all, how you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm average at best, but I score a lot. Anyway, Eli Manning, you have him as one of your guys this week. You're saying best streaming option because of what Tampa does against everybody. The quarterbacks that play the Buccaneers usually average at least 24 fantasy points against them. For some reason, they're terrible.
The reason they're terrible is because they're not very good. So, it's a good spot for Eli, you know, coming off a three-touchdown game last week against the 49ers. Offensive line played better, you know, getting finally a healthy receiving core with Evan Engram back. And I just think it's a good spot to trust Eli. Remember, no Tom Brady this week, so everybody's looking for at least one quarterback, and Eli's a good place to turn to.
You know, you were right about Russell Wilson this week.
Yeah, he played well. You know, could have had a little bit of a better game, but, you know, you'll take the 22 fantasy points. And, you know, he's just been on a really nice roll, and hopefully he continues at the end of the year.
And Philip Lindsay's one of your specials on the menu this week.
I'm excited about him. You know, coming off their bye week, I know some concern about Royce Freeman coming back, but he's actually played really well when Freeman's been healthy. Offensive line's a little bit of a concern, but, you know, you see the Chargers, they're down Denzel Perryman, one of their better run stoppers.
All right, here we go. Trey in New York, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, I have to meet you one day too, man, okay?
I believe it. It's cool. I saw you finally met Jamie. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice, man. How you doing, Jamie?
Hey, Trey.
4-point PPR. I need to sit one. Tyler Boyd, Chris Godwin, and Courtland Sutton. Thank you.
Yeah, it comes down to Sutton and Godwin. In PPR, I'd probably sit Sutton just because he's not going to catch very many passes. Good thing that Godwin is healthy, and he's played well when Fitzpatrick's been able to finish the game. So hopefully Fitzpatrick plays all four quarters and that connection continues.
All right, Steve in Miami on QAM.
Hi, gentlemen. Jamie, it's a non-PPR. I assume I'm going to start Connor, so I need two out of three. I just don't know who. I got Fournette, I got Kerryon Johnson, and T.Y. Hilton. And if I can ask another question?
Go ahead. Just do it now.
Oh, okay. Somebody wants to trade me Gronk. I have Trey Burton, and they want to...
So I lost him. All right, hold on a second. Steve, we lost you there for a second. So the question was, somebody wants to trade him Gronk, and then go on from there.
For a running back. I got Breida. I got Aaron Jones. I got Kerryon Johnson, Fournette, and James Conner.
Jesus, I don't know how you remember that much stuff. Honestly, I got all kinds of mental problems. What do you think, Jamie, with both of these questions? It's very laborious.
Yeah, I would if you could trade him Matt Breida to get Gronk, I would make that deal. That's about the only guy I would trade for Gronk at this point of the guys you have. And then with the guys you're playing this week, I think you're playing Fournette and T.Y. Hilton.
Why would you trade for Gronk? He never plays.
Well, hopefully he's going to come back after the bye week, and he's got such a stacked group of running backs he can afford to give up one. He's never going to play Breida anyway with those other guys, so just give up Breida while his value really is at most highest.
All right, Mason in St. Louis.
Hey, Jamie. You guys are touching on Eli, and I'm the George Kittle owner, and I have him on bye this week, obviously. So I dropped Eric Ebron for Evan Ingram. I just want to get your thoughts on that with that matchup this week.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't either.
Ebron's been so good. But look, if you're just banking on matchup, obviously Ingram has a better matchup against Tampa Bay than Ebron does against Tennessee, but it's just so hard to get past what Ebron has done. He's been such a big part of Andrew Luck's success.
All right, there you go, Mason. Have a good weekend. Mike in Ohio, 855-212-4CBS. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, got a 12-team, one-half PPR. Just need to pick two, Fitzgerald, Cooper, Ridley, Robinson, and Martin.
I think the first two, Fitzgerald and Cooper. You look at what Cooper's done since coming to Dallas. It's been great, 18 targets. They're really using him like the guy that he should have been used at in Oakland all along. And then Fitzgerald last week had 10 targets. That's a great sign in this matchup against the Raiders. I think he's going to see 8-plus targets again, and he should be successful against Oakland.
All right, 855-212-4227. Steve in Fairfax, Virginia.
Hey, Jamie, in the Standard League, want to know if I should go with Lamar Miller or Jordan Howard.
Don't love either guy this week. I probably would take Miller over Howard, though. The thing about Howard is, if he doesn't score, he's going to be terrible. At least Miller will get you some semblance of total yards and hopefully be involved in the passing game. That's been what has troubled Washington so far this year. So hopefully they throw the ball to Miller a little bit.
Antoine in the city by the bay.
What's up, guys? I got a one-game lead in a standard PPR. Standard scoring league, sorry. I'm trying to figure out if I should start Cam or Goff again, like I always ask you. And I got Funchess and Ito for the flex.
I would probably go with both Panthers. Cam coming back after that tough game last week should do well. Both quarterbacks are going to be great, but Cam should do well against the Lions. Their defense is obviously terrible. And I think Funchess just has a higher chance of scoring this week given the matchup against Detroit.
All right, so some of the guys that you said to sit were Stafford, Dalton, and Alex Smith, even Cousins. What do you think of that?
I just think that game Sunday night is going to be low scoring. Two very good defenses. Obviously, Cousins has had some great moments, but three of his last five games under 20 fantasy points, and the Bears have only allowed three guys to go over 20 fantasy points this year. So I don't think Cousins is an automatic sit. But if you do want to find some other options like Eli, like Mariota, like Prescott, that's a route that I would try to explore.
How do you think Lamar Jackson will do? And then I know you're high on Alex Collins for the Ravens this week.
Yeah, the Bengals have allowed 9 touchdowns to running backs the last 4 weeks, and the run defense has been terrible all season long, so I think this is a spot to lean on them. You've watched the NFL a long time. Running quarterbacks tend to help running games and running backs. I think Lamar Jackson will be okay. I think he'll be better as a fantasy quarterback, honestly, than an NFL quarterback early on, much like Michael Vick was until he sort of figured things out a little bit. His rushing ability will help his fantasy production. That's going to be his best key right now.
All right, Bill in Pennsylvania, you're on with Jamie Eisberg on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm just wondering if I should start Trubisky this week or Luck. They both have pretty good matchups.
Actually, they both have pretty terrible matchups, but Luck has just been fantastic the last 6 weeks. So has Trubisky, but I think you look at this Titans defense, and while they've played well, there have been three quarterbacks that have had success against them. It's really three of the four good quarterbacks they faced, the fourth one being Brady, who they did a good job against, but Luck's offensive line's been so good. He hasn't been sacked now in 19 straight quarters. I'd buy into Luck's situation at home more so than Trubisky's.
All right, Joe in the Steel City.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, I got a quarterback question. I got to start one. I got Stafford, Dak Prescott, or Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Dak has hit at least 21 fantasy points in three of his last four games, and, has been very good since Amari Cooper's come on the team. And you look at the matchup against Atlanta, their defense is awful. Very similar to Tampa Bay. All but two quarterbacks have had at least 21 fantasy points against Atlanta, and I think you'll see Dak be in that range. So I like his scenario this week.
855-212-4CBS, Mitchell in Arkansas.
Hey, Pharrell, can I get a shot real quick?
Can we get him a shot of beer, but an iron shot of beer puke? There you go.
Thanks, sir.
Yes,
long
sir.
Day at work. Hey, Jamie, quick question. So, two quarterback league, I've got Wentz and Mahomes, and receivers, I have Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, and Antonio Brown. Every time I bench Tyreek Hill, he puts up 44 points. But how do you bench A.B. or Julio?
That's a tough one. It's too bad you can't play all three of those guys. You know, if you want to, you know, get away from Antonio Brown this week, I can understand it because the matchup against Jacksonville is going to be a little bit tough. Obviously, the Steelers have revenge on their mind because of what happened to them against the Jaguars twice last year. I would actually do that. I would play Tyreek Hill over Antonio Brown this week. It's crazy if that makes sense.
All right, there you go. 855-2124-CBS, Grady in Memphis.
Hey, what's going on? I got Minnesota and I got Chicago's defense going against each other. And at the flex, I got Galladay, Lamar Miller, and Howard.
Yeah, Galladay for me is the easy choice. No Marvin Jones, so targets should be up for him. And he's been pretty successful this year when he's had double digits in targets. And he had 10 targets in the second half last week against the Bears after Jones got hurt. I'll go with the Vikings defense against the Bears. You know, as bad as we've seen at times, this Vikings offensive line, mostly early in the season, they've turned the corner lately. The Bears without Kyle Long, I think this is a matchup where it's going to show up. That interior of that offensive line is going to be a little bit tough against that Minnesota defense, which has turned the corner with Everson Griffin back as well.
All right, there you go, Grady. Have a good weekend. We'll come back with the second half with Jamie Eisenberg. Taking your calls, 855-212-4CBS, 4227. Bang the phones. Talking to Jamie.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we're taking your calls with Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com and CBS HQ. You can check him out on CBS Sports Radio Saturday night at 10 East and Sunday morning breakfast at Tiffany's at 11 a.m. Eastern on IM Fantasy. And then you can catch him every Friday night on the Bench. And that's basically been forever. Jeff in Boston on the Hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, bro, can I get a beer, please?
Can we get him a beverage of choice? Shake out. There you go.
All right, Jamie. I got Tyler Boyd, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, and Tariq Cohen. I got to sit one of them in a full PPR.
I'd probably say Demaryius. You know, I think we're going to see Kiki QT play, which will take some targets away from Demaryius. And, you know, I didn't really love the way they used him in the first game. Obviously, he'll be a little bit more involved, but Washington secondary is good. Not great, but the other three guys you have, I think, are just in a better spot.
All right, there you go, Jeff. Chris in Myrtle Beach, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Pharrella? You the man?
How can I be the man when you're the man? It's impossible.
No, you the man.
No, you're the man.
Two quickie questions, if I may. I need to fill a flex position. I need to either go with Corey Davis out of Tennessee, or I need to go with Sammy Watkins. And then I have a question on defense.
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead with it.
Yeah, I want to go with I need to fill a flex spot, either Sammy Watkins or Corey Davis.
Second question. What's your defense question?
Oh, my defense question is, should I go with the Chargers playing Denver, or should I go with the Cards facing Oakland?
Yep, I have the same dilemma in one of my leagues. I'm leaning toward the Cardinals just because the Raiders are just so bad. They scored 6 points or less in three of their last four games. I'm torn on both the players because Sammy Watkins should have a great opportunity. Obviously, that game is expected to be high scoring, but Corey Davis the last 2 weeks has been very targeted, 10 targets each of the last 2 weeks, and finally starting to see the production that we've been waiting for. So I like his situation a little bit better than Watkins.
All right, Chris. Let's go to V in Boston. What up, V?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. This is not just this week, but going forward. I got four running backs. I start two non-PPR, and I usually start one in a flex. Chris Carson, Adrian Peterson, and then I got Kerryon Johnson and Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm hoping you started Carson this week. Obviously, he played well. Yep, that's what I would have done too. Peterson's offensive line is just, yeah. I think it's, you know, week to week. You know, as long as Carson's holding off Rashad Penny, then he should be good. I'm just nervous about Peterson. You know, with that offensive line, they're not going to get healthy anytime soon.
All right, David in Pittsburgh on the Fan.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm in a standard scoring league. I'm a little running back heavy, but I'm hurting on receivers. I have Kareem Hunt, James Conner, and Mixon. I got offered a trade, Kareem Hunt for Demaryius Thomas and Shady McCoy. I just don't know if I should take that or not.
No way. You need much more for Kareem Hunt. I mean, he's been top five good, and, you know, you got to get a star receiver and a back of that caliber in return for what Kareem Hunt is.
There you go, Dave. Mike in Michigan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Cool, man.
Good. Two quick questions. I'm sitting on three quarterbacks in a keeper league, and I need a little bit more flexibility as far as my wide receivers are concerned. I got Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Kirk Cousins. I'm trying to figure out who to dump.
I mean, it's between Cousins and Rivers. I would try and trade Cousins if you can, just because Rivers is playing so well, very consistent. He comes into this week with 10 straight games with, you know, at least two touchdowns. So if you can trade Cousins, that's the right move to make.
All right, there you go, Mike. Brett in Virginia.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Cool.
Hey, so I got two quarterbacks. Do you think about Goff or Mahomes?
I mean, you got, you know, it's like 1 and 1A this week just based on how they should play. Goff's numbers at home have been just out of this world, and Mahomes is best fantasy quarterback, so they're both going to put up a ton of points. I would lean toward Mahomes slightly just because I think they'll be chasing a little bit in that game against the Rams.
All right, let's go to Scott in St. Louis.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it.
Cool, man.
Hey, so at Flex, I've got to choose one of the following, Jamie. It's a half point per. I need either Riddick, Kirk, or Reynolds for the Rams.
You know, I think any PPR scoring is going to favor Riddick. You know, the last two games without Golden Tate, he's got 13 catches. He's basically been their slot receiver. And now you have no Tate and no Marvin Jones in a game where they're probably chasing points against the Panthers, even at home. So Riddick should help you the most in the passing game. And if he scores, it's just a bonus.
All right, Scotty. And then Mike in California. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Pharrell? Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question for Jamie. I have three spots. Well, I only have two spots in wide receiver. I have three wide receivers to choose from: Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, and Juju. What do you guys think?
I mean, obviously, you're playing Michael Thomas. He's a monster. I think, you know, Juju's a little bit safer than Keenan Allen this week. Again, both guys have tough matchups, but Chris Harris is going to make things tough on Keenan Allen. Obviously, the Jaguar secondary is going to make things tough on Juju, but I just think that the touchdown potential favors Smith-Schuster just because he's obviously scored more. So, again, hard to bench one of these guys, but I would lean a little bit toward Juju more so than Keenan.
Yeah, I think they'll worry more about Brown, and Juju will actually have opportunities. Mike in Sacktown.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for taking my call. This weekend, I've got Goff and Ryan. Who would you go with?
Man, I love both these guys this week. Obviously, you want to have as many players associated with that Monday night game as you can. So, you know, you can lean toward Goff. But Ryan also, great matchup against the Cowboys. I think right now I have Ryan ranked higher, and as I'm thinking about it, I'll probably switch that. So I'll probably go Goff over Ryan.
All right, Jamie, killer stuff tonight. I know you're excited as the games get more meaningful as we head down the stretch in the NFL season. Anything you want to throw at us before you leave here tonight? I know the show's on Saturday night, Sunday morning. What big upset are you looking for? Any game that stands out to you this weekend?
You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Eagles, how they operate against the Saints, because clearly the Saints in New Orleans are fantastic. But there's a big game for Philadelphia, so hopefully that offense shows up, which I think it will. And I think it's, you know, it's not going to be at the level of that Monday night game, but it should be fun to watch.
All right, Jamie, great stuff. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week on the bench, and have good shows this weekend.
Thanks, Pharrell. Appreciate it. You're the best, man.
All right, there you go. Jamie Eisenberg. You can check him out Saturday night at 10, Sunday morning at 11 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. So there you go. You're all set up with your fantasy mafia. I just wanted to say Capitals lead the Avs in the third, 2-1. Blues up on the Knights in Vegas, 2-1 in the second. And the Leafs up on a Patty Marleau goal over the Ducks, 1-0 in the second in Anaheim. And the Stars won that game in overtime. You had a shootout in Pharrell-a-Peg. You had another shootout in Chicago. There was all kinds of activity. And then we were watching all these NBA games. I'm watching the Bucks. They were losing to the Bulls, but now they're kicking their ass. And we've had everything happen tonight. The Sixers came back on the Jazz. You had The Knicks blow the huge lead against the Pelicans. We were talking about a lot of the players' performances. There's actually college football going on tonight as well. I know that we're betting heavily on both of those games.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So the Ducks just, Aberg tied it up with a slap shot down the right slot. 1-1 with Toronto at the pond. I'm watching the Bucks 110-94 over the Bulls. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Boise's up 31-7 on New Mexico on the road, going to the fourth quarter. And Memphis now 14-5 over SMU down in Texas. So that's all happening. Now, tomorrow, what a bevy of action. There's just tons of games. A lot of them are soft tissue, like Citadel, Alabama. And then, you know, Idaho, Florida, some of them are really atrocious. I actually think Middle Tennessee, Kentucky will be a decent game. I could be wrong about that, but there's a lot of games of these teams have patsies this week. But Syracuse, Notre Dame, certainly no joke at Yankee Stadium. A lot of people are talking about it on NBC at 2:30 Eastern. That's going to be a hell of a game at the end of the day. I think that's the game of the day. West Virginia, Oklahoma State. At Boone Pickens and Stillwater could be good. Wisconsin and Purdue in West Lafayette on Big Ten Network at 3:30. I think that's going to be decent. Virginia, Georgia Tech. I think those are two decent teams. You're talking about two bowl teams there. Virginia and Georgia Tech are both, you know, 7-6 win teams. Georgia Tech's been getting hot. Miami and Vatech. Miami shot 5-5. It's embarrassing. Missouri at Tennessee. USC, UCLA. Did you see the students or somebody went over and spray painted some statue at the UCLA campus, got everybody all riled up? Indiana, Michigan, and Ann Arbor at the Big House. That was at 4 Eastern on FS1. You got Duke and Clemson at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Death Valley, that should be good. I think this game actually could be interesting. 9-1 UAB at 6-4 A&M. Jimbo might have his hands full at Kyle Field. Do you think the Blazers can give A&M a game? I'd love to hear from you. You think they got a shot at all? UAB 9-1, no shot.
Absolutely not. No shot.
Carver High giving them no shot. What do you think of?
They shouldn't even be ranked.
They shouldn't even be ranked. What do you think of? They're not ranked. Kansas hiring Les Miles, it looks like.
In one of those other polls, whether it's the coaches or the AP, coaches. One of them has them 25th.
Oh, you mean UAB?
Yeah, they shouldn't be right.
All right, so what do you think of Les Miles? Looks like he's going to get the job in Lawrence as the head coach at Kansas. He's going to be like your boy Charlie Weiss went there and learned the hard way.
Yeah, but here's the difference. I mean, you're talking about Les Miles. I mean, this guy's won. I mean, this guy's done stuff. I mean, Charlie Weiss didn't do anything before he went to – you know, before he went to Kansas. He did a little bit, you know, at ND, but not like what Les Miles has done. I don't get it. Like, is he that desperate?
Yes.
To start? He really didn't get.
Nothing.
I mean, he didn't think he'd get a better gig now.
Since LSU, he's got nothing.
Now, look, you know this. We say this all the time about places like Duke and et cetera. This is a basketball school he's going to.
Right.
Kansas is a basketball school.
That's it.
Can he construct, because it's, you can't even say rebuild, there was never anything built,
right?
Can he construct a football program?
He definitely knows there. How to coach. He definitely knows what type of players to recruit. He knows what he is going to go after, but it's, the question is, it's different. I mean, they want to go to Baton Rouge, they want to play at LSU. I mean, who wants to play at Kansas? They want to play basketball there. They don't want to play football there. What kid wants to go play football at Kansas? I mean, honestly. So that's the job. The job is almost not even coaching. It's somehow convincing kids to go play for him there because he knows how to win football games. There's no denying that. But I just think that's a very slippery slope going there to coach, thinking you're going to do anything. It'll be a shock. I mean, they actually played better this year. They still fired Beatty because all they do is lose since he's been there. All they've ever done is lose in football. They remind me of Indiana, you know, just a basketball school that can't, you know, figure it out in football. It's because nobody wants to play football there.
they've had three, you could say, like, mini type of, like, run of good seasons in the last, like, 50 years. From 07 to 09, they were actually ranked, they actually finished 2007th, ranked 7th in the country. You know, I remember they had a huge game with Mizzou that year. From 92 to 96, they were ranked a couple times. From 73 to 76, they were ranked a couple times. I mean, you talk about building from the ground up. I mean, there's no history.
I don't even remember any of that success. That's how bad they are. I don't remember any of that. I don't know how he's going to do it, to be honest with you.
The 2007
good luck to you, dude.
Kansas Jayhawks beat Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl that year. How about that?
And finished 7th in the country?
Yeah.
Where was I, in federal prison or something? I don't remember any of that.
Mark Mangino was the head coach.
Oh, God, I remember him.
The big guy, right?
Yeah. Cincinnati and UCF play in Orlando on Saturday night in primetime on ABC. What do you think of that? Cincinnati and Central Florida getting a little network television gig.
I think that this will be a good game. I think it'll be a close one. I like Cincy with the points. But I do think that UCF, although I'll be rooting for them to lose. Believe me, I want them to lose. I'm so tired. I'm sick of hearing about them. How about the quarterback today? I need to get his exact quote. I believe he said that they should be ahead of Notre Dame,
right,
because they beat Pitt by more points or something than Notre Dame did. He forgot to mention that that Notre Dame beat Navy by more points than them, and Notre Dame beat Michigan, and
he didn't mention
Notre
those.
Dame beat all these other teams that Central Florida didn't play, but nice job by him throwing that in there. So once he takes a pop at the Irish like he did today, now I hope that they go down hard tomorrow night to the Bearcats.
So you're hoping for just a sheer loss.
I was hoping for it before this because
now,
I'm so sick of listening to
now
them.
Now more than ever.
Their fake championship last year,
right,
and everything else that they did. So now I really hope that they lose after what bringing up the Irish in it. Take a walk.
Iowa State and Texas, a good game in Austin, I think, at 8 Eastern, believe it or not. And then I think this is a good game. San Diego State, 7-3 in Fresno State, 8-2 in Fresno Bulldog Stadium. Arizona State, Oregon, I think, is a good game. You're talking about. What do you think of the job Herm Edwards did?
Big game for Herm. He's closing in on the Pac-12 South title, right? He's getting close to that.
Yeah, like, you got to admit, I am surprised at what he's done, but they're a game behind Utah in the South. So
he's got a shot.
They beat Utah. So
all he's got to do is tie him.
Tie him, and then they win it. You got to be impressed with what they've done. They've got Oregon and Arizona their last two games. You think they'll win at Tucson against Arizona?
Yes, I do.
But that's
Arizona,
a rival.
Arizona, the late game on ESPN tomorrow night at Pullman.
Yeah. So, is that the game? It's Arizona, Washington State at Pullman. That's at 10:30.
That's the late night game.
Yeah,
bailout,
and then
blowout.
Stanford Cal always. Oh, they've canceled that game.
Yes, I did see that.
Did that just happen tonight because
they
of the fires?
They rescheduled it in December.
Really? Postponed,
yes,
the Stanford Cal game. When did that story break?
A couple out, like an hour or two ago.
Really? Because of the smoke?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy, right? That's absolutely crazy. I didn't know that. Boy, it must really be bad, right? That's that Paradise fire, right? That thing hasn't stopped yet? It's still going on? That is crazy. I'm just even shocked at that. I'm looking for this story. It's moved to December 1st because of the wildfires that are blazing out of control because of poor air quality in Northern California. They've been carefully tracking air quality in Berkeley and the Bay Area over the past week, relying on the best data and guidance available from medical and environmental experts. The forecasts have show a minimal chance of the improvement necessary to hold the game. The air quality index near Berkeley has hovered well above 200 for over 24 hours, which is a consideration for serious, horrible, should be given to rescheduling the activity. Prolonged exposure and heavy exertion should be avoided. So anyway, San Jose State, which is 50 miles south of Berkeley, plans to go ahead with Saturday's game against Nevada. However, it'll play the game at noon, 2 hours earlier. Air quality readings vary greatly across the Bay Area. The daytime figures have been more favorable in San Jose than in surrounding areas, falling within the recommended NCAA guidelines. Saturday's contest with Sacramento State and UC Davis has been moved from Davis to Reno, where it'll be played at Nevada's Mackey Stadium. The University of San Francisco announced it has postponed Friday night's game with Arizona State. The Dons also moved their Sunday game against LIU Brooklyn because of all of this. It's crazy, right? I mean, that whole thing is insane. You don't hear about that with USC, UCLA. Isn't it just as bad down in Malibu?
I guess the northern part of Cali is in much worse shape.
All right, here's the guy, Ed Oliver. They vow, and Applewhite, Major Applewhite, vow to move on together after their heated sideline exchange. Oliver has spoken. He was caught in an emotional moment. Last night is not who I am. I'm very passionate about the game of football, and last night there was a misunderstanding. I was caught in an emotional moment. I have the utmost respect for Coach Applewhite, and I appreciate the support of Coach Applewhite and my teammates during this time. I love my brothers, my team, my city, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with them together. Go Cougs. Applewhite said Ed is passionate, and that is why he's the best player in the country. Last night was not indicative of his character, and it was a passionate moment within our program. We can and we will both learn from this and move forward together. Applewhite said, I want him back. I want him part of our football team. If he wants to play, I want him to play. You're going to deal with emotions all the time, and that's our job as coaches to help them and help them develop the maturity and move on. And that's my job. If he lets me help him, I absolutely will, any way I can. Applewhite said Monday that Oliver would not practice until he felt healthy enough to play, but he would welcome him back when he's ready. Anyway, I just have to say, boy, the more I heard about this today, all day long, the more heat Applewhite was taking for his petty rules. Like, everybody was bashing him for that rule he has that you can't wear the jacket unless you're active. So if you're injured, you can't wear one. What does that mean? You're a wussy? I mean, is that what it's saying? Because you get all these guys like Durkin that did that stuff, right? All these mind games and, you know, rules and such. All these, you know, you're going to do it my way over here, military style.
We don't believe in rules. Like, we gave them up when we started living like freaky beatniks.
He took a lot of abuse. A lot of people said that Applewhite, it's going to hurt him more because recruits are going to see this guy and think, why do I want to go there and put up with that? All this guy with his rules, his fancy rules he's got for the players. I just want to play football. I'm not interested in being treated like a dog. Did you see him walk up to the guy on the sideline and yank the coat off of him?
I'm telling you, this is – we were saying it last night.
This is deeper
There's a lot more here than a guy who's not active wearing a jacket on the sideline. There's a lot more going on here. Either that dude's healthy enough to play and doesn't want to.
And that's what's got him mad.
And the coach ain't happy. It's something, you know, or, you know, like I think it just comes down to they think that he's ready to play and he's not playing. That's it.
And did you see their quarterback drop last night in that game? Derek King,
yes.
He's done for the rest of the year with a torn meniscus in his right knee. He's the best player on the team with Oliver, right? The quarterback's really good. They'll turn to true freshman Clayton Toon in King's absence next week against Memphis.
Good
run
luck.
Run to the window. Run. Get Memphis.
Get
quick.
The line on Sunday morning as soon as it comes out.
Quick, get Memphis. They're up on SMU 14-5 right now. Boise State 31-14 on New Mexico. So there you go. Yeah, I think you're right. That was a bad look. Oliver, that's not who I am. Actually, it is who you are. We saw it. All these people. That's not who I am.
Yeah, those two scripted statements that they put out today.
Nice job with the PR office and the lawyer that wrote it. Thanks. Support my teammate. Go Cougars.
Right, nothing looks fishier than both your statements starting with the same exact thing about how much of a competitor he is. That they both start exactly the same just shows that they were not written by those two guys.
It's just awful. Do you think that, honestly, that this is the biggest Syracuse football game ever? because they've played Clemson in these big games. You think this is the biggest game ever for Syracuse?
No, it's not the biggest game ever, but it's definitely the biggest game in this, you know, in, since at least 2001.
So Virginia Tech in 98, when it needed to bounce back from a loss to West Virginia in their next game against Virginia Tech, Donovan McNabb rolling right, throwing blah, 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 blah. Syracuse went on to thump Miami 66-13 the following week to claim the Big East title and earn a trip to the Orange Bowl. There you go. These are big games. They played Florida in 91, Auburn in 88. Their tie with Auburn in the Sugar Bowl is one of the most memorable games in Syracuse football history. West Virginia in 87, their charmed 87, saw a few knuckle-biting moments. The Orange won their first 10 games by double digits. They were tested by West Virginia on a final weekend of the regular season in a way few teams have been able to. SU showed a resolve, blah, 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 blah. And they had a game-winning two-point conversion. There you go. Penn State in 87. That was when I was in college. This is the biggest game ever. I'm sorry. There's no other game bigger than this for them. You cannot tell me there's a bigger game. Although they've played better. They beat Clemson, and then they almost beat them this year. Almost doesn't count unless in, what is it, checkers?
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
There you go. I knew I screwed that up, too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.